time I look at you, I go blind.
Well, 5440 is one of the most important popular groups. Don't we call them pop groups? To emerge from the Canadian cultural landscape, celebrating their 30-year anniversary, a remarkable achievement in and of itself. The band has an unbelievable catalog of hits, including Baby Ran, I Go Blind, Ocean Pearl, led by this guy, chief songwriter, Neil Osborne. He's on the phone with us right now. Neil, are you do you still live out there with the Wiccans?
Yeah, I'm in the city of Victoria.
Do you live any? I've got a buddy out there, Tal Backman. Do you see him at all?
In fact, yeah. I think he talked to you maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's on kind of regularly. I can't get rid of him now.
Yeah, he was in my basement studio, and he says, hang on, I got to take this call.
Shut up!
And I'm pretty sure it was you.
That's funny. I saw him on Religious, and I thought, nah, that guy's got more to say. Turns out, I can't shut him up.
No comment.
So listen, I got a few questions for you.
Shoot.
Do you mind?
Not at all.
First of all, what did we catch you in the middle of doing right now? Like, are you sipping on a latte, reading the paper in front of the fireplace after yoga, listening to something from your vinyl collection?
Close. I was sipping on a latte, and I did just finish walking the dog on the ocean, and I was just going over some of the songs that we're going to be doing on our tour, because I was realizing the arrangement's a little different, and I went, oh yeah, I should probably figure that out.
You just said you were walking your dog on the ocean. Did you name your dog Jesus?
No, his name is Bowie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Hold on, that's not the Great Pyrenees, is it?
Yeah. How do you know?
I know so much about you, except I don't know if you were born in Regina or Scotland, because your IMDb says Scotland. What's that all about?
No idea. My mom's from Scotland, but
maybe that was
I'm Regina. Regina boy.
And you moved around a lot because your dad was a spy?
Something like that. Federal government.
Same thing.
Yeah. I moved in the middle of school year like 5 times.
Oh,
man.
So did you turn into like a complete social retard? Like, how does that... Or were you just so good at making new friends that you're just, you know, everyone loves you kind of thing? Because you go one way or the other. When you move that many times in the middle of school year, you turn into a total dork or the cool kid?
You get to gauge people pretty good by moving around. And, you know, they're all in their natural state. So, you know, you start at the bottom and you work your way to where you want to be.
Yeah. Best place you've ever lived?
Well, probably here, but growing up, I lived in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and those are probably my most fond childhood memories. So.
But you're near Victoria, right?
Right now I'm in Victoria, back on the East Coast in Nova Scotia.
Are you still living in that Queen Anne Victorian Heritage House?
Yeah. What, have you been here?
Do you still have ghosts? Because I think your mom said there were ghosts, right?
My mom did say that, yeah. But she's become one now, so.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Right.
Apparently, I don't do the best research.
Yeah, she used to come over and swear she was talking to ghosts and stuff, and it's like, well, that's cool.
That's funny.
They don't bite.
Well, they can't. They gum you a little, but who was that? So the first person to get you into music, that would have been your brother David. True story.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was. He's a little older, and he was doing a little duo. And he asked me to transcribe Lion Eyes by the Eagles, and he would show me a D chord.
That's nice.
And then I had a D chord. I learned a D chord, and then I sang every song I knew just playing the D chord.
That's exactly what I did. Except I was dadgad. I didn't even bother to learn a D chord. I just tuned the thing and kept it in dadgad.
Yeah. And that's how I learned how to write songs, because I realized it wasn't the song I was trying to sing, but if I just changed a few words, it became a whole new song.
Yeah.
I noticed you snuck in One Gun a little there, and thanks for the royalties on that, but that song is all a D chord. It's one chord song. So there you go.
That's so funny. Nice. Coral and Candle, your girls. Mm. Candle's mm-hmm. in the biz. She's still working out of Montreal?
She is, yeah.
What's she, about 25 now?
Exactly. Yeah.
She said in an interview one time that when she was about 14, that Coral and her were acting up, so you and the missus packed up the fam and moved out to the country.
This is true. Yeah. We threatened we'd move them, and we did.
And did it work out?
Well, now it has, yeah. At the time, it was a little rough.
A little iffy.
That's a rough age for girls.
Oh, man. Seriously. Yep. Yeah, Tim, how old yours?
Mine's 16.
Yeah, good luck with that.
17 in a couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then mom becomes public enemy number one.
Yes.
Well.
And dad sort of in the middle.
Yep.
No, I became public enemy number one. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Let's just not go there. I want to actually find out from you, like, how would your axe collection compare with one of your neighbors, Randy Backman?
Oh, not even close.
Have you seen his stash?
I have.
Of guitars?
Yeah. It is Vancouver Island.
I don't think there's a person that does compare to his collection. Maybe there is. There probably is some super uber billionaire, but as far as I know, he's got the one. He's got all of them.
That's funny. Last time Tal, his son, Tal Backman, She's So High guy, came in to the studio with his axe. Remember that story he told?
Because
his dad's got a place in Oakville, and he was down here, and so he said, Dad, I need a guitar to go do this radio show. So his dad's like, here, take this one. And he's walking out with this thing, and he realizes it's like one of a kind, limited, you know, some crazy, ridiculous $40,000 guitar. He's, really? This is what you're handing me? No guitar case? Nothing. He's just walking around Oakville with it.
Yeah. I know.
So being a yoga dude, which, by the way, I just got into myself. See, I grew up in the Jesus scene. And the Happy Clappies thought that yoga people were demons or something, right? So, like, if you smelled incense, you're going to hell, kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And for the last few years, every summer break, Neil, I try to lean into a community of, I don't know, like faith people or you know, some kind of spiritual vibe or whatever that I've either been judgmental of or ignorant about. And let me tell you, that list is really long. So I've leaned into Wiccans and Satanists and Druids and this year I picked the yoga crowd to lean into.
Oh, yeah, nice.
You know what? I've been thoroughly impressed. It might be just the gang I'm hanging out with, but I want to know what your spiritual journey has been like, because you can't be a yoga person and not have some kind of spiritual sensitivities, I think. What do you think?
I suppose. Depends on your definition of spiritual sensitivities. I mean, what yoga does is it helps make you present, and that's a big one, right? So you get in touch with your body, and you know where it's at, and then your mind focuses on where your body's at, and then it gets a little closer to yourself, I think, and it just feels good, you know, feels good to do it. Right?
Has yoga been the savior for 5440? Has that been the key ingredient, you guys? I'm sorry, but every interview I've seen you do, people say, "Oh, what's the secret for you guys staying together?" I just think it's you must be so sick of that question, because the reality is the secret of staying together is don't break up.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't know what it's like to break up, so I don't know what that means. That question means, honestly. Brad and I started this thing out of high school, so we were buds. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we knew we could get along. It's basically, you know, somebody you can be in the van with 7 days a week. And then you learn to play music along the way. Something like that.
But do you think, this is a weird question. Anyway, do you think you were putting out your best music on vinyl, on cassettes, on CDs, or on iTunes?
Well, once again, how you define best, but probably vinyl. It was more exciting in a lot of ways. I think we're getting better at it now as we've gotten older.
Well, I'd hope so.
Yeah, kind of more effective in a way. But at the thrill of those days was quite something.
Yeah.
And we were on a mission in those days, you know. We were going to change the world. That was what we thought.
And?
We did. How do you like it?
Nice. You know, here's a Tiny Talentine interview question. Remember that show? Who's Neil Osborne listening to these days? Who's in your CD player? Who's in your iPad? iPod, your iThingy?
I've been checking out the new Bowie record a little bit. I think it's okay. It's good.
You might get you might be able to endorse it with a comment like that. I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's okay. You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Nothing I can really go after, to tell you the truth.
You know, I had a conversation with Tal, with Bernie Finkelstein, with Skip Prokop.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's somebody else. Oh, Humble and Fred. But those three guys mainly, we're talking about the Canadian music scene, right? I mean, Tal's the right guy to talk about this because he's so bitter.
And Bernie would be an expert.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And Skip Prokop from Lighthouse. So we had a great conversation about this. What is your take on what was and what is and what's to come?
On Canadian music?
Yeah, just the industry, the scene, right? I mean, you know, it used to be, what was the standard thing, Tim? You know, if you want to make it big, you got to go to the States if you want.
Yeah, I mean, some people thought CanCom was limiting. Some people thought it was helpful.
Right.
There's that argument as well.
And Skip Prokop says, you know, if it wasn't for me standing in front of Parliament doing that, you know, the CanCom wouldn't be in royalties and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Anyway, what do you think, Neil?
Well, you know, I don't know what to think. I mean, it's evolved. I mean, CanCom certainly helped us. I mean, the CanCon rule is a simple one, as I understood it and stand it, is that you have 20% or whatever it is, 25% of your music has got to be somehow fit the CanCon description, right? And I can't believe that if you have 100% songs and you take the bottom 20% of international songs and you replace them with Canadian songs, that that's going to be worse. I just can't believe that.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's been good. And if you look at the pop charts, you know, you've got The Weeknd, Drake, and Justin Bieber internationally all on the top of the pops. So that's Canadian, I guess.
But is it? Is it? Is it really?
Is it really? Don't ask me.
I had Mrs. Bieber on the phone. I interviewed Mrs. Bieber.
Mrs. Bieber.
Yeah, Mama Bieber.
His mom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sandy Bieber. Just kidding. And she's a nice lady, and hold on, why are we talking about Justin Bieber? I think the kid's going to turn around. I really do. I think the rat bag stuff was just something he had to get out of his system. Did you ever have a rat bag period, Neil Osborne?
Oh, no, I think that's still to come.
You know, earlier we were talking about Paul Henderson and his wife speaking at this marriage conference. Henny was on the show a little, you know, I don't know, an hour and a half ago, I hesitate asking this because I don't know, maybe you're not married anymore. But last thing I looked at when I was doing research on you is you've been married for like 59 years or something.
It'll be 30 in April.
Do you have people that say, "Dude, how do you do it?"
Yeah, same question like the band. I just go, "Well, how do you not do it?" I don't know. It's been pretty easy. I mean, there was a little patch with the teenage girls trying to figure out how to navigate through that one. But we did. And it's all breezy now because we're empty nesters. So it's been awesome.
So you've rediscovered the love shack, have you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and having your kids young, that's the upside if you can last.
Yeah. If you can last, freedom! Would you, do you wish you had a boy? Hey, did that ever cross your mind? Why didn't we have a boy?
No, of course not. I mean, not after it's done. Although I can tell you that when the first one was born and I was in the, in the room when she's giving birth and baby pops out and she's like, "What is it? What is it?" And I said, "It's a boy."
Oh, you didn't?
I did because I saw the umbilical cord. He looks like a good boy. And doctor goes, "No, it's a girl." And I went, "It's a girl."
What a meathead.
Yeah, you and Homer Simpson.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. So, okay, what are fans going to expect when they come to Rose Theater and get their socks rocked off? I mean, you know, it's kind of... like I go up to Rama, Casino Rama a lot. I interview a lot of folks that go through there. That's where I interview James Brown and B.B. King. Who else have I had? Anyway, and the reality is, you know, you've got hits that are in people's subconscious. And so, but then there's the dilemma of, are we going to play the same stuff again and again and again? Or can we at least tweak it a little bit or change, you know? But what if you just give them the candy they want? Like, how do you guys wrestle that dilemma?
Well, in this time, in this fiscal round, this is exactly what you said. We tweaked it a little different. In fact, we're promoting a record called La Différence. And we've redone our 10 biggest hits, changed the keys here and there, you know, interpreted the lyrics a little more succinctly, more unplugged vibe. It's an unplugged type of show. And then we're complementing it with a bunch of songs from the catalog and some new songs. So that's what we're going to do. And it's a lot of fun. And we bring the people in more. So when we go out to rock, which is also a lot of fun, you know, we carry our rocking on our belt and boom, we go. But we do this type of show, we let people in more, you know, we're sitting down or something like that, and we'll tell stories, and we'll just let them to get to know the culture and the attitude of the band a little more, and maybe a little background on some tunes. It's that kind of thing. So.
Man, he talks a little bit like Tal. Can you hear that?
It must be the West Coast.
Is it living on the island, man?
I mean, the songs also get to breathe a little differently, too. In fact, I was playing from that album, the last couple of songs, and there's something different to them when you hear them with a lot of stuff cut away. Like, they're just great tunes. That's another great thing about doing the acoustic vibe.
Yeah. And we did change them up here and there. So it's the lyrics come through a little more powerfully, too. And you know, the meanings of them here and there. So it's good. Good stuff.
5440.com, after 30 years, 16 releases, and more than 2,000 performances, 5440 will be performing live January 23rd at the Rose Theater, Brampton, rosetheater.ca for tickets. Have you performed there before?
That's a good question. Can't tell you.
Yeah. No, my point was, I really like it. Dude, what was the first thing you and I... Was that Colin Mockery and Brad?
No, Blind Boys was the first thing
we saw there. Okay. So we saw Blind Boys there. What a great... I just really love the Rose Theater. It's a good vibe. Yeah, it's a good place.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay, so what's your goal for 2016? What are you going to lose weight? You're going to hit the gym more? Are you going to stop something? I don't know. What are you going to do for 2016? What is it?
I have no resolutions, if that's what you're asking. I learned that one a while ago.
Are you going to do anything? You got any plans? Are you going to travel? Are you going to go to Boca Raton? I don't know.
Well, my wife and I are going to go to Maui for a couple of weeks when we hit the 30th anniversary, which would be fun. That's April 4th.
What did you do for the 25th?
25th was a weird one. My kids, my wife and I eloped on Salt Spring. I've actually been married 3 times to the same woman, if you want to know.
Wow, that takes polygamy to a whole new realm.
Yeah. First time we eloped. The second time, on our 10th, we had a surprise wedding for all our friends and family because they never got to go to the first one. Okay. And then for our 25th, we eloped on Salt Spring Island, so my daughters got us a bed and breakfast and all the meals paid for the whole weekend, April 4th it was. And we got married again with the Justice of the Peace, sort of right where we were first eloped and all that. And that was great. That was great. Unfortunately, the next morning I found out my mother had passed away. So
goodness.
It was a double whammy that day. But that's what we did.
That's brutal, man. My son was born on the same night my mom died.
That's a tough one, too.
Yeah. Just ridiculous.
In a way, it's kind of, you know, there's something, I don't know, full circle-ish about that, but, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't change it. It's done.
No, that's right. Well, we are at the end of our show, Mr. Neil Osborne. I'm looking at Tucker the Wonder Dog here, who has crashed on the floor. My Great Pyrenees is right by my feet here in the studio.
Do you have a Great Pyrenees for real?
Yeah.
Wow. I have to go online and see pictures of me. Is he there? Is he on pictures on your show or something like that?
I don't know. Have we put pictures? I'll send you some. That's weird. You don't really. I'm going to send you pictures of my dog.
And then your dog people. That's what you do.
When I cook, rather have pictures of your dog than you.
But yeah, amen, brother.
He retained his marking, so he's not a pure white. He's got like the Saint Bernardy thing going on.
Oh, okay. So they're like black or brown or something.
Yeah. Brown.
Yeah. I've seen some of those. Yeah, the Pyrenees are awesome dogs, though.
Dude, it's the best dog I've ever had. I've had 3 Goldens before. Hold on, 2 and 2. Anyway, Goldens before. Best dog I've ever had. He and I got chased by coyotes about 2 weeks ago. We were out in the middle of nowhere. Heard them yipping. Of course, he wants to go in for the fight because that's what they're bred for.
Yeah.
And I thought was vet bill. So I grabbed him and we hoofed it, and they started coming after us. I mean, they were like, I don't know, 500 yards away, but I was scared.
Yeah, well, we've been chased out of there's a lieutenant governor's residence here just down the road from where I live. Beautiful grounds. And it's filled with these deer, and these deer are aggressive. And they've chased us out a couple of times.
Really?
Yeah, and they're big. I mean, deer, you know, you think little Bambis? No, they're
big.
You know, they stand taller than me.
Yeah, they're like a psycho kangaroo with horns.
Exactly.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Okay, yeah, really? Thanks.
Sorry.
Hey, listen, I kind of enjoyed this. Thanks, Neil. I appreciate it.
And I'm glad you kind of enjoyed it. I kind of did, too. It was great.
So check these guys out. January 23rd, Rose Theater, 5440. Go get your tickets. Buy them. Get them. Do it. Have a great life, Neil.
Likewise, Drew. Thank you.
All right, dude. Take care. I sing about the hope that